The death of Antonin Scalia jump-started an old debate. Should there be term limits for Supreme Court justices? Now, Justice Scalia served for 30 years. He died suddenly, showed no signs of slowing down. But last year, a Reuters Ipsos poll found that 66% of Americans now support the idea of term limits for justices. And our next guest has long agreed. Paul Carrington is professor emeritus at Duke. And so, Professor, you wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times in 2009, making your case. Start with, what does the Constitution say?
All that the Constitution says is that they serve for good behavior. And everywhere else in the world, it's understood that their term limits are age limits. And it doesn't make any sense to empower a justice to do what Nino purported. He said he wasn't ever going to retire until we had a president that he approved of and that would appoint somebody that would agree with all of his views.
Well, you reference the Constitution, which, as you point out, says only that federal judges, the Supreme Court and lower courts, can stay in office as long as they maintain good behavior. And I want to rush to say, you're not saying that any of the current sitting judges, and even Justice Scalia, you saw anything in their behavior that wasn't good behavior.
Well, yeah. Staying too long is not good behavior.
Right.
Congress can define good behavior. But on the other hand, the tradition in the Supreme Court of the United States that was practiced for into the 20th century was that the justices would keep an eye on one another. And if somebody got a little bit attenuated and fragile, the other guys would come to him and say, Judge, it's time for you to quit. And he would.
Well, and they're not quitting now. Why do you think that is?
Well, the job has become much more politicized in it. They have a large sense of power. Moreover, they've got a lot of help. They have a huge number of three or four law clerks who can do the heavy lifting of identifying. They don't have very many decisions they have to make. So it's a relatively easy job in that sense.
Well, Professor Carrington, what about the thinking that our elders are some of our wisest people?
Well, I wouldn't deny that there are some wise people who are very old, although I guess I would be a little bit questioning about how you would identify those people. And part of what is a concern is that increasingly the Supreme Court has been making decisions that are highly political. They are interpreting the Constitution in ways that bear heavily on a lot of decisions that people want to vote on. And that wasn't going on in the 18th century. It wasn't going on until the last few decades.
Well, and it's odd because libertarian David Harsanyi of the online magazine The Federalist writes that the idea that you and others are proposing term limits is a bad idea because the founders wanted to shield judges from political pressure, and that the benefit of having ancient, long-serving justices is that they're far likelier to be impervious to fleeting populist bugaboos.
Well, I don't think any of the justices are very sensitive to popular prejudice in any case. But if they're going to be making political decisions, then it's not too bad an idea for them to be at least thinking about what, in a democratic government, what the people want or believe or would anticipate.
How else would you envision a term limit?
Those of us who were thinking about it together did come up with this scheme, which is to say the president can appoint somebody to the Supreme Court every term of Congress, every 2 years.
Does it become more politicized if every president knows that they're going to be making appointments of their own?
I'm not at all worried about that because I don't think it could be more political than it is.
It already is. What about electing Supreme Court justices? Ted Cruz proposed a constitutional amendment that would require justices to face retention elections.
Ted Cruz comes from Texas, and there is where they do elect their judges directly, and they also spend a lot of money on campaign finance. So what it would mean is then that our justices are those who are purchased by the funders of their campaigns for the office.
What about the age? The fact that with no term limits, justices have stayed far longer. Now, as you wrote in 2009, that, you know, you'd been teaching only part-time after you turned 70.
Yeah.
As someone who's in your older years, is that a part of your concern, you know, how people are functioning?
A little bit, yeah. I do think, surely it's true that they are less Now, there are exceptions. There are geniuses who are at the age of 90 perhaps still thinking seriously about problems and trying to be critical in their use of their minds. But, I think on the whole, it's a good idea to rotate people off. I'm 84 years old, and I can say categorically I'm not qualified to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. I don't have the freedom of wit, the attention span, the memory of details that would be required for me to make a good judicial decision in a whole lot of cases.
Yeah. Paul Carrington is Professor Emeritus at Duke. Professor Carrington, thank you.
Okay. Have a good day.